Welcome back to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke, and we're hearing a little bit of music from the Chicago Afro-Latin Jazz Ensemble. Over the past 8 years, the band has taken a global approach to jazz, mixing the traditional Latin sounds rooted in Cuban rhythms, along with the reggae beats from Jamaica and some Brazilian bossa nova. The group performs with a lineup ranging from a duo to a 15-piece jazz orchestra, and tomorrow evening at the Matthews Opera House in Spearfish, five members of the Chicago Afro-Latin Jazz Ensemble will be on stage, including the band's co-leader, trumpeter Victor Garcia, and he joins us on the line from Spearfish. And Victor, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Thank you, Carl. Good morning.
And I understand that you got in very, very early this morning.
Yeah, we got in around 3:30 in the morning, driving 12-plus hours from Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And it was a nice drive. I mean, very uneventful, but unfortunately we didn't get in until very late. And we got up this morning, and we were talking to some kids over at Spearfish, playing for them. And so I'm running on pure adrenaline at this point, but happy to be on the show. Thank you so much for having me, Carl.
Well, it's nice to have you with us. Now, working with students, is that something that you like to do when you're touring with the group?
It wasn't when I first started this career as a musician. I really wanted to be a player exclusively, but in the past, I would say about 6 years, I was offered some teaching positions. I mean, really, they would come from people at different gigs that I would play, and they just would want to study with me. And I really came to enjoy the learning process, just watching kids learn. And also adults. I mean, I teach anywhere from middle school to people that are retired. And just to see the joy in their faces when they're understanding something on a deeper level, musically speaking, it gives me a lot of satisfaction. And so to do this, it's really my pleasure. They give me the energy that I need to get through it because I am pretty tired.
But. What does it take to teach jazz? You could teach someone to play an instrument, but how do you get that feel for the music?
You have to be very rudimentary in the beginning. The way that I like to explain it is talking about the relationship between painting a jazz picture. We are basically artists, and our colors are scales. We have to learn all the basic foundations. I mean, you can't be an artist without knowing what your colors are and how combining them create different textures and different colors. So that's the basic foundation, is to have some technique on your instrument and to listen. More importantly than anything, to listen to how it's supposed to go. It's the same as studying Van Gogh or Monet. I mean, it's one of those things where by osmosis, you learn how to find your own voice.
For you, how did you learn this music, and how did you find your own voice?
As I was growing up, I grew in a very musical household. I played piano when I was 4 years old on my dad's lap, and then he taught me the guitar, and from there we started playing in a trio where I would play the rhythm guitar and find the harmony. And having to find the harmony at all times was a very challenging experience for me, but I learned so much, and I really started to appreciate music on a deeper level even from that young age. And when I got to high school, I had to pick up a band instrument, and long story short, I ended up having to play the trumpet almost against my will, but it was love at first buzz. I mean the sound that came out of it sounded like a yak in heat or something, but I loved it. And I started listening to the greats. One of the first albums that I got was a Dizzy Gillespie greatest hits album, and I was just blown away by how far someone can take the instrument. I mean, basically taking the limits of it and stretching it to the farthest possible place that you can play the instrument. And also, I really got to appreciate group jazz, which is the conversation that you can have in a small group of musicians as the piano player comps for you and as the bass player plays a bass line. And I mean, I find no greater joy than to have a wordless conversation with other musicians. I really enjoy that. And have found joy in teaching it and sharing that experience with young ones who also want to pursue that. And one of the things that my dad taught me growing up is that boredom is very dangerous and it kills. I mean, people just get into all sorts of terrible activities and they can ruin their lives and stuff, but I always had something to strive for. I always had something to work towards, and jazz became it for me. So I kind of want to pass on that work ethic to people. I'm not encouraging them to be musicians. I just want them to unlock their potential by pursuing something that they truly love, because in the end, what you love with all your heart will love you back. And I mean, I tell people that I make a living blowing hot air through a cold piece of plumbing. You know?
Yeah, but the sound you get out of it is so much more than that.
Oh, man. I mean, it's a glimpse into your soul, that's for sure. But it takes years and years to, like Miles said, to play like yourself.
Now, your group, Victor Garcia, the Chicago Afro-Latin Jazz Ensemble, has been around since about 2006. And this group came together with you and a friend?
Yes, a wonderful piano player and a great friend of mine, Darwin Noguera, who unfortunately, because of health reasons, couldn't join us on this tour. But him and I would get together and write some music and just play and really explore the different sounds of Latin America that were fused with the African drums. When, you know, one of the darkest chapters of world history is slavery. I mean, slavery's been around for ages, but when the African slave trade came to the Americas, they didn't just come to the United States, they were brought to the Caribbean, and all the different styles that were already in place, say in Brazil, say in Cuba, and Peru, basically married the African drumming tradition, and that's why you have so many different styles in Latin America. There's so much beauty, there's so many different interpretations of phrasing, and so many different patterns, and it's just incredible, and I wanted to explore that as much as possible. So we play music from all over Latin America. We play some Afro-Peruvian stuff. I love Jamaican music, the backbeat. I love Brazilian music, of course. Cuban music is amazing, and there's a whole history in itself in that, and how it's evolving even here in the Americas. I mean, at this point, everything is just music. It's either good or bad, right? Like Duke Ellington said. But it's been incredible to learn about the different styles and being able to incorporate them into our compositions, which we've had the pleasure of recording our album a few years ago. And we're looking to record again this year with some new compositions with a smaller group, which it seems that it's more viable to travel as a small group than as a 15-piece big band. Although we do get the chance to play with that big band here and there, and it's always an amazing experience. So,
well, let's get a little bit of that music. This is the Chicago Afro Latin Jazz Ensemble and the full big band, and this is the title cut off the CD Blueprints. We'll listen to about a minute of this. A little bit of music from the Chicago Afro-Latin Jazz Ensemble Blueprints, a few seconds from the title track from their CD of the same name. And the five members of the Chicago Afro-Latin Jazz Ensemble will be on stage tomorrow evening at the Matthews Opera House in Spearfish. Among them, the band's co-leader, trumpeter Victor Garcia, and he joins us on the line from Spearfish. And Victor, you mentioned earlier that when you were starting out, when you were just learning to play in a band with your father, that he really was made you focus on learning harmony. And I imagine that's been an important part of your development as a musician, as an arranger and composer, because you write much of the music for the group.
Yes. One thing that I want to say about that is it's an interesting way to learn music by ear first and then come to it from an academic perspective, because it's I can compare it to learning a language. It makes much more sense to learn what it sounds like and to try to understand it that way than to sit down and go through the alphabet of whatever language you're trying to learn. It doesn't work like that. When I was a baby, my dad didn't sit me on his lap and say, "Okay, son, this is A, now this is B." I mean, that would have been very unnatural. I was copying what he would say, and eventually I said "dada" and "mama," and then, you know, oscillator and whatever, what have you. It's a process of learning by emulating what you hear and listen to recordings and really getting inside the music for myself. Really linked it together when I had the opportunity to learn it at school. I went to U of I in Champaign. I went to Northern Illinois University, and I learned so much at those schools. But it's not stuff that I didn't know. It just basically connected the dots for me. At that point, I was already transcribing and writing my own music, because my teachers were the people that were playing on the radio and from recordings, like Clifford Brown and Charlie Parker, John Coltrane, Cannonball Adderley, Bill Evans. There's so many. I consider them my teachers, even though they passed before I was born. But they left a legacy of recordings, and there's so much to learn from them. And I feel that's the best way to learn, is just to be inundated with what you'd like to learn.
Now, Victor, as I understand it, you're quite active as a musician in Chicago, more than just the Latin jazz and the music of the Chicago Afro-Latin Jazz Ensemble. Is that just part of being a musician, to just play everything and anything you can?
You know, just like Duke Ellington said, there's only two kinds of music, good and bad music. And one beautiful thing about being a jazz musician is that being a great listener has allowed me to be able to play any style of music. I mean, I play with pickup orchestras. I play in wedding bands. I play in rock bands, in brass bands. And, of course, I just listen to so much music that that sound is in my ear. So when it's time for me to take a Louis Armstrong solo, I have the phrasing, you know what I'm saying? But if I'm playing, you know, somebody's wedding, for example, I have to have whatever. You have to learn how to be the appropriate sound for the appropriate occasion. And that has allowed me to be a functional musician in Chicago, where every day I'm doing something different. I'm playing with different people. I play in so many different bands, I don't even know how many. And next month, for example, I'm going to Florida with this incredible saxophone player named Carlos Vega, and we're going to record an album, and it's going to be jazz. And then after that, I'm going to Switzerland with a blues artist named Ross Bond, and playing a completely different thing, you know. And you just have to be able to wear different hats
and
pull it off convincingly.
Yeah, and I guess that you were talking about boredom, probably, since you're doing so much music, so many different kinds of music, that also keeps boredom at bay.
Yeah, definitely. I can't remember being bored into my teenage years, to be honest with you. And that's something to say, because I'm 31 years old now, and that means that for more than half of my life, I've had something to do at all times, at any given point in my life.
Well, Victor, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us on Dakota Midday. Do you have the opportunity to take a nap at all this afternoon, or you got more students and kids to work with?
I do. I teach at Loyola University and Roosevelt University in Chicago. So, their school year is still in session, so I have to be able to be available to meet with them. So after this last presentation at the middle school, it's spearfish. I'm going to come back and I'm going to sit in front of my computer and teach a few lessons and do the same tomorrow. And I mean, that's the other thing is, like, once you have all this stuff in your mind and your ears, it's time to pass it on because it's not ours. It never was ours. It's everyone's. And we have to be able to pass it on to generations after us.